Next Step number 700, November 4th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
That's right, you heard it right! 700! Can you believe that? We are at episode number 700. 14 years. Well, you do the math, right? 14 years, 52 a year. Yeah, 700. We're there. And as great as that is, I'm going to start off with something even greater. Yes, I'm going to talk about a miracle that happened in our lives. Because last week, as soon as Next Step was over, number 699, that is, as soon as it was over, we got a call that my daughter-in-law had gone into labor. And so Susan ran over and took care of the older son, and my son, Vadojan, Lauren, they took off, went to the hospital, and early in the wee hours of the morning, like 1, 2 in the morning, we got word that little Alexander Minas was born. Alec for short. Yeah, how exciting is that? Quite different from our first grandchild 2 years ago, because we did the typical Armenian scene on his case. We all flooded the hospital with all of us. I mean, it was like a big camp out of all the relatives. Well, this time, because of COVID, there's no one allowed in the hospital. So we had to get the news via text and then later via voice. But thank God there's FaceTime, and we were able to FaceTime and talk about miracles. I don't care what they show you in Hollywood with all the big thunderbolts and lightnings. I don't think there's another miracle that compares to this. When you see that little baby, when you see that little child, the little fingers, the little toes, it's a beautiful miracle of miracles. And with that, I want to congratulate my kids and use it as an opportunity to share with everybody just this beautiful thing that God has given us called life. And that's what we do. When we talk about the 700 episodes of Next Step, it's really about taking the next step. Next Step implies that you're not happy with the place you're at. Well, maybe that's the wrong word. It's you're not content with the status quo, that you need to take a next step. There is a next step. It implies that it doesn't end right here. It implies restlessness. Yes, remember that word, restlessness. That, yes, life goes on and you need to adapt. You need to find where you belong in that life. And I use the story of my grandson being born as just this next opportunity to say that, yeah, it is a continuing story. Yeah, there are moments in life when you need to look at these small little miracles as pointing to the big miracles, which is called life. And we, I think, underestimate it, what a miracle it is, especially with all the difficulties that we have. It's easy to lose sight of really what's important. So yes, here we are at episode number 700. And what I try to do with the next step is, yeah, take the next step, connect them, and really understand that we're all part of a bigger process, which is called God, which is called God's grace, God's love, and we all belong to that. And it's interesting for me because there are so many different dimensions to that, and one of which is how to present that, how to get it out. Now, I say this because this week I ran a seminar on media, especially social media, at our diocese. It was a three-hour seminar, which is only in the first half. It's a two-part seminar going to be continuing next week. But talking about the different means. And, It's interesting because when you look at how Jesus shared his message with the people, it was in very simple terms with a simple group of people who were agrarian. It was an agrarian society. They were people of the land, and he spoke of the land. He spoke of the vines and the vine dresser. He spoke about the grain of wheat falling into the earth, and people understood under those terms, and he did not hesitate to use them as metaphors. Very important. Jesus used the language and skills of the time to get the message out, which is an eternal message. And that's why that message is eternal, because it applies to every time period, including ours right now. And so there's different ways of looking at it. We've been sharing this. I'm going to share with you two stories, one of which was last night. We had a Bible study with a group of young people, young adults, in the story of the 10 virgins from Matthew chapter 25 came up. And we heard an explanation about the virgins, why it was important to talk about the virgins. We heard an explanation about why the lamps, what the oil meant. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful explanation coming from church fathers. But the bottom line is that there was a message that Jesus was trying to get across. And you have to ask yourself, if Jesus was here today, would he talk about lamps and oil? Would he talk about virgins being the companion of the bride and the bridegroom? Or would he bring it down to a different set of circumstances, different examples? Instead of those lamps, would he talk about flashlights? Instead of oil supplying the essence for those lights, would he talk about batteries and a group of people who had not charged their batteries or had not gotten more batteries or who went over to the charger and recharged them? You don't know. You don't know, and I'm not pretending to know. But I would venture to say that Jesus would use the metaphors and the symbols of the times to get his message across. Because at some point, it's necessary to bring it down to a level of understanding. For instance, I was doing a show called WD-168, referring to the 168 hours in a week. And for the last year and a half, been doing the news from around the diocese. What's going on during the last 168 hours, during the last week of life within the diocese? And a few weeks ago, I turned over the reins to that show to another young man, Sergei Arustamian, and he's been doing that, and I'm moving over to do some more educational programming within the scope of our ministry. So I watched a couple of his episodes, and I just love this guy because I've known him for many years. In fact, he was a parishioner when I was in Glendale, pastor of the Glendale St. Peter Youth Ministry. And I remember he came one Sunday, or maybe it was Christmas Eve, if I remember right. And he does this beautiful, beautiful Frank Sinatra voice. And he's saying, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." And different Christmas songs, not carols, but songs. As an individual, as a soloist, he's loaded with talent. So I don't know if you had a chance to watch last week's episode, but he broke out in the song Chapama. Chapama refers to the pumpkin, and it is a traditional Armenian song, Hey John Chapama. And it's about a lady who's preparing a pumpkin for hundreds of people, an assortment of people that happened to be the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, but in Armenian. So you've got all these, you know, kergins and deker and who knows what. It's just a bunch of stuff. So he asked me, he said, "Do you think that it was too much? Should I have not? It was too silly that I broke out in a news show about pumpkins." And I thought about that for a moment. I particularly enjoyed it, especially it was Halloween. And, you know, he sang a little bit and he changed the atmosphere of news. And I thought about it and thought about it. And you know what? It comes down to this. Why in the world would anybody turn on their computer, their television, to get news from the diocese? There's only two reasons, right? One reason is because you're invested in it. In other words, it's your church, it's your diocese. You want to know what's going on in your church, right? And that's your choir, basically. When they say preaching to the choir, that's your usual crowd. You're going to get that. But don't you, as a church leader, as somebody in charge of communications within a church, don't you expect to go beyond those limits, beyond those boundaries that have been set up? And so you push yourself. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, he sang this Chapama. And what happens? You know, people are going to say, hey, this is the guy that sings. Let's tune in next week to see what else is he going to sing. Is he going to sing again? And, you know, here's the hard part, because you don't want it to be gimmicky. You do not want it to be a gimmick. And I think you can get away with it a couple times. And he did beautifully with this first time singing Chapama. It's a beautiful opportunity to share some of your talent, to direct the attention of people where you want it to go. And I think he, in that respect, he succeeded in doing that. But the bigger question for us is how to get this message out, because we are in a business of evangelization. And when I use that word business, I've spoken about this in the past. I'm not talking about your traditional sense of using the word business. I have a cash register and you're going to come up and I want to evangelize and then we will monetize that message. We will make money. That's a business in the secular level. I'm using the word business in terms of truly what it is, a system of operation. In that sense, yes, you need to have a system of operation. A system. Jesus had a business, so to speak. He had a system of operation. Didn't mean that he was making money, but there was a system. He came. He gathered 12 people. Why didn't he just say, okay, I'm going to just take a microphone and do it myself? And why am I just not going to stand on a hillside and just talk to people? No, he got his inner group together, and this was the operation. An inner group of 12 people. He had a larger group of 72 people. And in that sense, there was a business of evangelizing the world. And creating the church is part of that business model and platform. And I'm going to say it again. I'm not talking about the secular idea of business. Because once you do that, you've just lost it. I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about business in terms of there has to be a strategy, a goal, and there has to be a system of operation. Now, let's use it in the secular terms, okay? You have a business. You have a grocery store. And you're going to be selling fruits and vegetables. Let's say that's all you're going to be doing. You need to know what the farmer is going to be charging you for those fruits and vegetables so that you can put on an extra amount so that you can make a profit. But you can't arbitrarily put on an amount. You can't say, well, I got those carrots for 30 cents a pound. Therefore, I'm going to charge 40 cents a pound because it doesn't even make sense, right? You don't even know what your overhead costs are. You're paying rent, you're paying electricity, you're paying employees, you're paying insurance, you're paying all kinds of stuff. So you have to factor that in coming up with a fair and reasonable price that will account for the product itself, what you give to the farmer, what accounts for all the extras that you're paying into it, and then for you to have enough of a profit to put bread on your own table because you need to use that money to barter with other people, to use it to buy things with other people. For instance, the man who sells you gas, the man who sells you electricity, a whole assortment, right? And the luxuries of life. You want a car, you need whatever you need, okay? Yeah, I know. You argue that car is no longer a luxury. At least here in Los Angeles, it's not. It's been really rough. I've been without a car for just about a year and a half now. It is a rough ride. But you know what? It's doable. It's doable. Once you put your mind to it, it's very doable. But business, that's what I mean by business. In a secular world, it has to do with profits. In the spiritual world, it has to do about accounting for what you have. You've been given this message, freely you should give. That's an order from Jesus. So our interest isn't profit, but it is on human profit. You want to bring in new people. And that's really what I'm saying right now. You can't do the next step without wanting to broaden the scope. You can't be talking about your news without wanting people who wouldn't ordinarily listen to also listen in. And it's a big challenge because, like I said, you don't want to get gimmicky as well. So in that sense, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity for 700 episodes. And you've come along for the ride for different things. And many of you have not been on for 700 episodes. You've been on shorter. Perhaps this is your first one. I hope you see what we're trying to do over here. We share with you the message of Jesus Christ, but in such a way that we accent the message that was given to us when Christ came to this world. Peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. In other words, isn't that the message by which he came into this world? It's the same message by which he left this world. He says, I leave with you my peace. I give you that you love one another the way I loved you. So there is this beautiful message that often gets forgotten because we sort of accent the person of Christ more than his message. And I'm saying that they have to go hand in hand. Christ is the Christian message. He's the embodiment of that Christian message. So we come out and we do that in the Armenian Apostolic, Armenian Orthodox tradition, one which we have labeled as Armodoxy. It's the name for today. Now, what we're going to be doing, today I'm going to share with you a couple things. I'm going to share with you, first of all, the passing that took place that went unnoticed, the passing of Hans Küng. And I'm going to share with you about the priorities in our lives. And I'll do that right after the song of the day. I think I don't want to, because we're getting right towards that middle spot. And I want to, let's celebrate what needs to be celebrated. 700. Celebrate new life coming into this world. Celebrate our life, the miracle of miracles. And here's a song to do that. Thank you. Armin Chakmakian doing Enchantress. That's off of an album called Ceremonies. We've played a lot of Armin Chakmakian through the years, but today it had a very special meaning because literally just a few minutes before we started recording today's show, Susie shot me over an email from Armin Chakmakian. It was actually an email addressed to different people who are supporting Vulnerable People's Project Afghan Relief Fund. And he belongs to this. He's given his servants his talent for that. And he's written a very beautiful letter, but the very ending of that letter really got to me. And to the point that I was brought to tears. He's talking about the children. He gives this description of what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on with the people. And it says, the most difficult part is looking at documents and seeing the faces of babies and children, knowing that a mother is weeks away from giving birth, reading explanations of frightful situations and the most nightmarish events some families have had to endure. And doing this work makes the stories about my family's past during the Armenian genocide come alive decades after hearing them. I want all of these beautiful people to be in the same situation that I was blessed to be born into. I'm only here because my family fled a similar situation over a century ago. And we're able to survive. So I want the people who we are helping to survive, tell their stories, and have peace. And he goes on. And you know what? I'm going to put a link to this story, to how you can get involved. I was just so moved by this story. And like I said, we've played Armin Chakmakian through the years. He's one of my personal favorites. I mean, I listen to his music. It's more than just background music. I know it's tempting when you've got instrumentals, but in this case, it's just it takes you to a different place, a different level, a different emotion, and a different place. This is off of the Ceremonies album. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check out the artist and his work, his creative work, and the work that he's doing here in this world. God bless him. Welcome back for our second portion, where we're going to talk about a few different things, including a direction for which we're going. You know, I want to share with you ideas about prioritizing, about what we talked about a few minutes ago, about the business, about the sense, the system by which we do things. And part of that system, of course, includes prioritization. In other words, what is important? What needs to be prioritized at some level so that it is more important than the other, that we address it first before we go to the next? And it's interesting because, you know, we've lived through this last 14 years, especially. May have been in it for at least 40 years right now, but the last 14 years that we've been doing this podcast, you think about it, that the rate of technology advancement and things becoming obsolete, you know, it's at a rate of 1 to 1.5 years that technology doubles itself, or the computers, the rates, the standard storage area, for instance, or the processor speeds and everything. And technology, the way it's going right now, becomes obsolete very, very fast. And in many ways, that's what has happened to us. We've become obsolete because of the revolution, which happened right at the same time that we started the next step. Actually, 1 year earlier, it was 2007 that the first iPhone came out. And although iPhone wasn't the first cell phone, what it did is it brought about the revolution of social media. That you can have this small little unit. I didn't get into iPhones until, I think, 7-8 years ago. I was into the Android platform. Actually, I was in a Microsoft platform, which kind of like took a nosedive, never made it, never hit it. But yeah, but iPhones 2007, what it did is it got people to understand that you can now have the internet in your pocket. And the iPhone made communications, and it's really taken off. It's taken off like nothing you can believe, and to the point where right now, whereas if you look at statistics, do you remember a time where we had one phone in the house for five people living in that house? Now we have five phones, one for each, and some people have two phones. You know, it's like, think about how many phones we have, because it's not just a device for talking, but it's a device where you take pictures, where you communicate with others, and you engage in social media. And along with that, you know, the escalation of podcasts. Well, we were there right at the beginning when this thing first started, and it was some interesting times. So yeah, 700, that's something to be excited about. But more than that, I think it's the excitement of where we're going with this, what we do with this 700. And I want to bring to your attention an item that's been in the news for the last several weeks, and it kind of emphasizes the entire idea of priorities, what your priority is in life, where you want to focus, what you want to focus. I'm saying this because at a junction such as this 700, you want to be able to kind of look back, but also more importantly, look forward. What are you doing? Where are you going with it? And a lot of it depends on the priorities you set up. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's podcast or your life or anything. What are your priorities? How do you set them up? What are your goals? And one of the items that hit my attention this week was this Alec Baldwin accidental killing. You know, that he was on the show, on the set of a movie called Rust, and his gun accidentally, or it fired, but accidentally there was a bullet in it, and it killed someone on the set. It wounded the director, and just horrible, horrible tragedy. And I saw an interview yesterday with the people, the producers of the show, and they were talking about how the FBI is going to get involved in it, and they're investigating and looking at. And you realize that at that point with the FBI and everybody, you're talking about millions of dollars into an investigation of this bullet that hit this person. Tragic as it is, and I'm not trying to minimize that loss or the tragedy. But what I want to bring to your attention is the priority that we give. Last year, for instance, bullets that were given to the Turkish people for money were used against basically a defenseless Armenian population and trying to wipe them out in Artsakh. There's no investigation about that, is there? Nobody cares about that. I mean, one bullet hits somebody. And you know, when you think about all the Westerns, I don't know if you're like me, you watch a lot of black and white TV. Do you know how many Westerns there are? Do you know how many shows there are that use guns? I mean, the number, you can't even count it because of all the detective movies, detective shows, everything that's out there. And the Westerns that use the guns and the espionage that use the gun. Do you know the number of people that have been hit with a bullet? One was, I think his name was Brandon Lee, if I remember right. That was Bruce Lee's son, I think. This was in the mid-90s. And if anybody, maybe something 20, 30 years before that, mid-90s, I would say 30 years ago, someone got shot. And again, tragic. I'm not trying to minimize that. Okay, I'm just trying to show you where priorities goes. Because it's a priority, FBI is getting into it. Because it's a priority, people are spending money, and to the tune of millions of dollars to find out who loaded that gun. Why did that gun carry a live round of ammunition? That's basically the question. But nobody asks about the guns that are on the streets of America right now, killing people, killing innocent kids. When nobody's asking about the bullets that were put in from Israel into the Turkish guns that fired at the Armenians. Nobody's asking about that. Why? It's not because we're senseless or we don't care, but it's because it's not a priority. It's not something that we're focused in on. And you see that this is really the way the world works. You remember JonBenet Ramsey? I don't know how many of you remember that one. That was, I would say, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. That was an interesting case for me, too. You know, there's this one girl who's the focus of a missing person investigation. Meanwhile, if you remember at that time, there was a show called Cold Case or Missing Person, something like that. I forgot what it was. Just hundreds and thousands of kids. But for some reason, JonBenet Ramsey, she's the one that gets the attention. Same way today, Alec Baldwin, he hits and it gets attention. All killings, all missing people, big, big tragedies. I'm not trying to minimize. What I'm trying to say is these priorities are the manner in which people move forward in their lives and with their lives. And you have to have these priorities. In other words, they are, and like it or not, priorities are another way of saying your biases, right? They're based on your biases. You have biases. Everyone has it. As unpopular as it is to say I am, as well as popular as it is to say I am unbiased, right? It's true. We all have and hold our biases. And those determine our priorities, what we do with our priorities. And this is what I've been sharing with you for how many years now about the idea that we within the Christian community, and especially one of the tenets of Armodoxy, is to prioritize. Rather than looking at a life to come, let's focus in on this life and really working towards the goals that Jesus Christ put forward of loving one another. Peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. That has to be a priority. And you make that a priority, and then accordingly, everything else falls into place. Just like anything else. Just like when you put it as your priority that war is a priority, everything falls into place accordingly, according to that priority. And that becomes a bias that you have. And so we all come to this life with our own biases, sometimes formed. I don't think we have biases that are ingrained. I don't believe in that kind of thing, in a biological, this is a bias that I have. But I think that we learn our biases, and therefore our priorities are set up by the conditions of our life and so on. So I bring this up because these are opportunities for us, especially when we're at a round number like 700, you know, like for us to look at where is that next step. And it's based on a priority of putting this life at the top of our priorities, understanding that this life is important, that the Christian understanding, the Christian teachings, what Jesus Christ has taught us as far as implementing love, having faith, having hope, believing in goodness, conquering evil, these kind of ideas have to take a priority in our lives. And in so doing, what I'd like to dedicate the next set of podcasts, or let's say the 700 series, to the idea of what I call the bushel basket, one that I think we often forget about, one that comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Now, that word in the more, I think in the King James, is referred to as a bushel basket. Archaic, but I like it. So we'll use that term, okay? Instead, they put it on a lampstand. So you've got the light, you don't take it and put it in a bowl or underneath the furniture. You take it and you put it up on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And it's so important for us to remember that if we've got some good deal, if we're talking about a light, if we're talking about something that is our priority, don't be intimidated and don't worry about hiding it. You need to, well, not worry about hiding it, but don't try to hide it. Let it stand out. Let it light up others. And for me, I think this is going to be the real challenge this year, as far as putting it out on a stand, away from the bushel basket, and letting the world see that this is really important. That's going to be our priority at this time, much like the FBI is, or excuse me, that the world has decided that Alec Baldwin's gun is a priority, and so FBI needs to be called in. Yeah, there's other things. There's other people that have died, but this is the priority at this moment. Same way, right now, for us, a priority has to be the one of love, the one of Christian understanding, the one of making this world a better place right now. Because this is what God has given us. This is what God has entrusted us with. So that's where we're at today, and that's where we're going. That's where we're headed towards. That's what the next step will be about. That's what we're going to be identifying this next series with. Outside of the bushel basket, putting it on a lampstand. Let it light the room that we're in. It might not be the world, but let it light up the room that we're in. And we know what we have is pretty valuable because it's been given to us by God. It's been given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Outside the bushel basket. By way of transitions, I want to mention the passing of Hans Küng. He was a Roman Catholic theologian and priest. He was born in 1929 on March 19 of all dates, St. Joseph Day, and he passed away this past year, April 6th, 2021. And his passing was unnoticed by me. I thought I would have noticed it. I've spoken about him several times here on The Next Step. And it was just caught me off guard just a few weeks ago when I was doing a little research and I found out that he had passed away at the age of, what would that make him, 92, 93 years old. A very full life, a very rich life, led in the service of God and Christ's church. A Roman Catholic priest and a theologian. He was around. He was actually a theological advisor. He was a theologian. A theologian who wrote and spoke about the entire church. In fact, one of his books, The Church, is a reference book that I go to many, many times. I've gone to many times in my ministry. It is one of those staples that I just love. I just love holding the book more than anything else. It almost like shoots out to me with just messages that I need to hear. And I think if you were to read it, you'd see, wow, this guy really is out there. He brings it home so beautifully. Let me read a part of it, okay? It should scarcely be necessary to remind those who admire the church's wisdom, power, and achievements, its splendor, influence, and prestige, of the persecution of the Jews and the Crusades, the trials of heretics and burning of witches, of ecclesiastical colonialism and wars of religion, of the false condemnation of men and ideas, and of the church's frequent failures in the problems of slavery and war and in social questions, in its identification with certain systems of society, government, and thought. Whatever its superficial brilliance, how can one overlook all these all too human features, all the cruelty, fear, and narrowness, all the laziness, cowardice, and mediocrity, all the lack of love? Hans Küng. You know who turned me on to him was Archbishop Vacha, my ordaining priest, my spiritual father. Archbishop Vacha had studied in Edinburgh and Scotland, and of course, Hans Küng, being a Swiss theologian, from Switzerland. It was just remarkable, actually, being at Vatican II. Think about Vatican II, how it changed the entire Roman Catholic Church. But here's the interesting thing, is that he was a theologian, a scholar, and a priest. He was teaching, but he fell out of favor when he started writing about papal infallibility. In fact, the first book that I found of his was called Infallible. And he spoke about rejecting the doctrine of papal infallibility. You know, it's something we can talk about one day. I can't remember if we've ever done that, but we've maybe hit upon it. But basically, the doctrine of papal infallibility, which we do not have in the Eastern tradition. He was actually, in 1978, was asked to resign from his position within the university, within his teaching, but he remained a priest till his dying day. And just marking this as a transition, he was somebody who was influential in the lives of many millions, and certainly in my life, somebody that I referred to many times. Yes, different tradition coming from the West. It's very Western, actually, when you read his writings, but somebody who was able to move people with reason, with knowledge, by turning to Scripture, by turning to our sense of reason, of understanding common sense, and following through and putting it all together. Just a beautiful expression of what the Christian church should be, what the Christian church is and should be. Let me finish off by just reading a small little passage here, okay? It's just really beautiful the way he expressed it. Ecclesiology, which is the church's expression of its self-understanding, in other words, the church looking on itself, must not be enslaved by any particular situation, be it past, present, or future, any more than the church. It must not identify itself completely with the programs and myths, illusions and decisions, images and categories of any particular world or era. But precisely because it is historical, ecclesiology can and must be influenced by its origin, the origin of the church. This origin does not simply lie in a historical situation, and still less in a transcendental principle, fabricated and interpreted philosophically, which supposedly set the history of the church in motion. Its origin is rather given, appointed, laid down quite concretely, according to the church's understanding of faith, through the powerful historical actions of God himself, acting through Jesus Christ among men and for men, and so finally through men. God's salvific act in Jesus Christ is the origin of the church, but it is more than the starting point or the first phase of its history. It is something which at any given time determines the whole history of the church and defines its essential nature. Hans Küng passes away April 6, 2021. An illustrious career. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check out his story, check out more about him, which I would encourage you to do.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Okay, let's start off first and foremost by thanking all of you for being part of this ministry. I can't thank you enough for all the love, the prayers, the support you've given to this ministry. And we look forward to working with you and sharing with you in the coming years or months or days, whatever God gives us. We're here to get this message out. Not put it under a bushel basket, but throw it outside and let it light. Okay, remember, that's the theme that we're going to be focusing in on. I want to thank Ken Nalick. He left this past year, and just cannot thank him enough. Because it was a blast working with him. We miss him and wish him all the best. Every so often, he'll drop me an email. And sometimes I forget to share it with all of you, but he sends his love to everybody. And finally, I want to let you know that we're getting on close to the holiday season. Actually, some of the stations have gone to Christmas carols, believe it or not, radio stations. We will be getting there probably in the next few weeks. I'll have a holiday schedule, holiday email sent out, all the different programs that we're doing through In His Shoes, and ask that you get involved. Make this a very special holiday season in finding the joy in giving rather than receiving. And you know what? I don't even need to say that to you people. I know the kind of caliber of people that listen to the Next Step. Okay, well, that does it for today's show. We're going to be kicking off our Reclaim Conference coming up March 19th, 2022. Yes, March 19th, the same day you heard me talk about. Quick, what was that date? Yes, you'll have to rewind. You'll have to find. If you didn't remember, you'll have to find out. But I'll give you a hint. It's that date in the West. And of course, for us, that date is going to be the date of Reclaim 2022. And we're going to be kicking it off this Sunday with an incredible meeting, bringing together different people who will put it all together. So please pray for that very special program. Okay, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to draw your attention to the notes, the show notes, and there'll be links on there. You can link on and catch us on all the socials. Actually, there's a really cool podcast coming out tomorrow called, well, in Armenian, but it is recorded all in English, called The Center of Attention. And that will be premiering on the Diocesan website and Facebook page. But speaking of websites, don't forget the mothership, inhisshoes.org. It's all about walking in the shoes of others, where you'll find this podcast as well as every podcast, everything we've done in the past. So on behalf of this wonderful lady who produces this show 700 times now, Susie, and myself, Father Vazquez, I look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.